right, welcome to the Michael Slate Show. I'm your host, Michael Slate.
That's right, I'm still here.
Mm-hmm. Our next segment, I've been waiting to do this for a little while, and I'm really pleased to get into it. We're going to be talking with Lenny Wolf from the Get Organized for an Actual Revolution tour, and we're going to be talking, joining him will also be Lucha Bright, and we're going to be talking about the coronavirus, a natural disaster in a system of savage inequalities, capitalism, imperialism. Lenny, welcome to the show.
Hey, Michael, how are you?
I'm all right. Do you have a frog in your throat?
I'm just no, I'm fine.
I just wanted to make sure I don't like frogs.
I'm okay. So far, so good.
Okay, all right. And before I go any further, though, I do have to ID the station because I was just too moved by this last one, and I want to make sure that people know that you're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles. Now, Lucha, are you there too?
Yes, I'm here, Michael.
Okay. Hi, how are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
It's a heavy world today, and I'm glad you guys are out there in it and doing what you're doing. So let's jump on this, you know, natural disaster in a system of savage inequalities, capitalism, imperialism. Let's talk about this. I guess what we'll do is, I don't know how you want to work this. I was thinking I would start with Lenny first, and then we can just go back and forth or whatever, you know, whatever's good, for, you know, in terms of what you would. Did you have
I
any?
Think that'll work.
Okay. All right. Why don't we do that then? Now, in American fascism, you know, there's people are very, very, you know, I think there's a lot of people who, you know, you know, people used to call things fascist that you know, could say, okay, they're just calling everything fascist. But today, it seems that not enough people are actually recognizing that there is, in fact, an American fascism here and advancing. What are we talking about here? Let's put some meat on this as we get into this. You want to jump on this first?
I think a lot of what you and your previous guest were getting into points to at least one of the really terrible examples of what's going on and what's being made worse. And I want to actually follow up on a few points you and your guest made. One was your point, which she was also underlining by saying history won't judge us kindly, on the Nazi character of what is being done to the immigrants in particular. And the point that you were making on the need to protest, the need to bring this out, even in situations like this, I noted that people in Brazil the other day, millions of them went out on their balconies and in their doorways to bang on pots and pans to protest Bolsonaro, who's also a fascist, and what he's been doing and not doing around this. And I think we're going to have to find the ways appropriate to the current situation to continue to raise the necessary questions and to wage the necessary battles. But I also want to follow up on something you said and kind of pull the lens back a little bit on the unnecessary character. It was actually Eunice was making this point that what's being done to the immigrants is totally unnecessary right now. And you were also underscoring that. Before we get totally to the fascism, I want to talk about what kind of a system of which this fascism is one expression, one form of rule of it, though, that we're dealing with right now. What kind of a system makes this necessary? Why is this perceived to be necessary? Why is this being acted on? And how are we going to get out of this? Is it really necessary? Is there an alternative? Could this be done in a different way? Any society, Mike, would have to deal with viruses, they would have to deal with pandemics, and all the rest, just as any society has to deal with hurricanes and other natural disasters. But how they deal with it has to do with what social system they have. What are the motive forces that drive that society? What are the basic relations underlying that society? And what kind of constraints, or alternatively, what kind of freedom does that give humanity and the people in that society to deal with these things? And I did want to talk about three things on the front page of the paper today of the New York Times that bring out how much unnecessary damage it does to deal with this through this system, and how a socialist system, and I mean a real socialist system, which requires a real revolution, a real dismantling of the forces of repression of the current system and its replacement, top to bottom, by totally different social relations, economic relations, political structures, a different morality between people, different relations between people, could deal with things like this so much better. And I there were three articles. One was that they've done a simulation. The Trump regime had its people do a simulation of something remarkably similar to this over a year ago. And this simulation gave an actual sense of the level of damage that it would be done. Their simulation gave you 110 million Americans becoming infected by it, leading to 7.7 million hospitalized and 588,000 dead. They can't say they didn't know that something like this could happen, okay? The other thing, the other article, I'll get back to all of these. The other articles are that there's a global race. The headline is a global race to figure out a silver bullet. And this article makes the point again that I'm going to quote this actually. I know I'm taking a minute, but
that's fine. Don't worry about it, man. Take as long as you want.
There's a nationalistic approach that could give the winner the chance to favor its own population and potentially gain the upper hand in dealing with the economic and geostrategic fallout from the crisis. Okay, they're not calling for all the scientists of the world to come together, to be communicating with each other, to make this any breakthrough the property of everybody else. They're trying to figure out how to angle for advantage with each other. And there was something that came out the other day about the Trump himself attempting to buy out a German company that seemed to be making advances on this, and then the Germans saying, no, you can't do this and all that. And then the final point is the final article, which is the main article on the front page, is that there's going to be terrible shortages of gear. It says, doctors sound alarm as a nation struggles. Shortages of gear imperil staffs at hospitals. And what this is basically saying is that the frontline caregivers in this are going to be they're going to be up against, they won't have the necessary, it's not just the respirators for the patients, they don't even have face masks. They detail in this some of what people are doing very heroically at the risk, and in many cases almost the certain risk of their own lives, to deal with this. Why? Because there is no stockpile. There's no planning. These things are three interlocking things when you think about it, each of these, all driven by a system in which the commanding, in which the driving commandment is to expand profit. And this overrides everything, and in which and takes expression in competition on a global level between nation states, and in which the society also keeps people in abysmal ignorance, both of basic science and of things they understand that are looming. This is, how unconscionable is it to make this simulation and say nothing and keep people ignorant? Here's where you see the crying unnecessariness of all this, that it doesn't have to be this way. I really want to urge people, go to the website revcom.us, read the Constitution that's been authored by Bob Avakian, who's brought forward a new communism, and see how a socialist society would deal with this so much differently, how it would prepare, how it involve the ordinary people, the masses of people in society, in grappling with what to do, and collectively figuring out and preparing responses in advance, and how it would gear production to be able to meet calamities. And to do this not just for the people in this society ranged against the whole world, but to fight for the world as a whole, to do this for the world as a whole and as part of that world as a whole, and to struggle for cooperation and for a common way for humanity. There's how many? 7.7 billion of us. It's a common humanity. And why is this not put in first place? And the only reason is because of this, because of the system we're living under, and we don't need this system. That's why, you know, anyway, I think this is why we say, or I say, and we on the tour say, there's never been a leader like Bob Avakian in a country like this before. Who else has brought forward a constitution that actually lays out and provides a way for people to understand in advance what kind of society we're going for and how that society, which would rely on people's conscious understanding of science and of the scientific method, would be so, so different. It would give you so much more freedom. And then you do have then what your guest was saying, and which Luch is going to bring forward, the savage inequalities that pre-exist in this system, which come into play and then get accentuated when there is a question like this that arises in society. The things we saw on one scale in Katrina, we will very likely be seeing on a much larger scale in the days and weeks ahead. They're sentencing the immigrants that your guest talked about to death. Mm-hmm. A portion of these immigrants are being sentenced to death and disease. What kind of a system does that? And this is the question we have to be asking, not only what we have to do to fight this. We have to be, and yes, we do need to find the ways to fight against this particular ugly form this is taking in the Trumpian fascism. The combination of ugliness and, you know, idiocy. But we've got to really, it's time to really look at where are we at as a species, and what do we need to be doing? And we've got to open our minds to the fact that there is an alternative.